We would like to welcome you into the services of Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:45, Sunday night at 6, and Wednesday at 7. We're located just 9 miles out the Kingsport Highway and would love for you to join us. Now, we would like to welcome you into the services of Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus.
Psalms 100 says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and to his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him." You see, I want you to see that. "Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." And as I said, I want to use that 100th psalm as I've used so many times here, especially during the Thanksgiving season, and just share a few thoughts with you this morning concerning this psalm. And if I would take a text this morning, it would just simply be a call to thanksgiving. A call to thanksgiving. Now, this psalm, to all of you Bible students, you already know this, but this psalm right here concludes a series of psalms that began back with Psalms 91, and which looks ahead to the advent and the coronation to the king, to the coronation of the king, the Lord Jesus Christ. So this psalm right here has the true setting in the millennial kingdom. And so during the reign of Christ here upon this earth. And so a time when the world will be filled with righteousness. And all men everywhere will exalt the name of the Lord. And so a time when his praise will fill the earth. As it should even today at all times. And so that blessed time will be a time when the glory of Jesus will literally fill all the earth. So thank God this morning that you and I that are here this morning, that are saved, will get to share in that glorious kingdom sometime. And so if you're here and you're not saved, you can make that preparation this morning where that you'll be able to share in that also. And that's our heart's desire this morning. So while these things and that time are yet future, there's still a great application of this psalm to every one of us that are sitting here this morning. So, and I want you to see here, because this psalm is a call to thanksgiving. And so the title literally reads a psalm of shouting. Now, it's a plea from the psalmist to the hearts of his readers, to the Lord, and to exalt his name. And so here, and let me give you just a little history lesson. I usually give you this little history lesson every year, but I know you all are familiar with how Thanksgiving started and all of that. But since Thursday is Thanksgiving, and we carry out a tradition that is old as America. In other words, in 16 and 21, after a very terrible year, in which half of their number died of starvation and diseases, the pilgrims set aside 3 days in December to praise the Lord for their bountiful corn crop or their corn harvest. And then many years later, in 1789, President George Washington proclaimed November the 26th as a national day of thanksgiving unto the Lord. And this was in response to God granting America independence from Britain. And then in 1863, President Abraham Lincoln revived this old tradition of rendering thanks unto the Lord. And finally, in 1941, the United States Congress decreed that the fourth Thursday in November will be a national day of thanksgiving unto the Lord. So that's why that we have it on the fourth Thursday of November every year. That Congress decreed that the fourth Thursday in November was to be a national day of thanksgiving unto the Lord. And so for many, this coming Thursday will be a day when family gather together, when families will come together and eat too much and feel horrible after that's happened. It'll be a time when families will, most of the men will watch football games on television. The women will watch parades, and I like to watch parades too. And even sometimes me and Pam sits and watch the dog shows from New York, Madison Square Garden. And so there's so much that goes on. But the most, when it goes back when I was working at the Eastman, I think one of the things that I appreciated about Thanksgiving more than anything else was I didn't have to work. I got a day off from work. But with that being said, I hope Thanksgiving today means more than those things to us. I hope it means a whole lot more than those things. And so here I want us to see here, we must never be guilty of allowing our thanks to wait until Thanksgiving to be expressed. We ought to express our thanks every day. And so here, so far, and God goes so far here as to say that being thankful is His will for our lives. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's the will of God for your life to be a thankful person, for you to give thanks in all things. And so, but I'm afraid that we are very ungrateful people. In other words, I'm afraid that children, so many children, are ungrateful to their parents. Children, have you realized who provides to God through them, who provides everything that you have? And give you a good place to live and food on your table and all those kind of things. But we find that so many children are ungrateful to their parents. Just take it for granted. So many people are ungrateful to one another. And so, but worst of all, so many people are ungrateful to God. Very ungrateful. Thankfully, there's portions of Scripture, like the one here we've just read here this morning, which we can find not only a challenge and a call to thanksgiving, but it also gives us plenty of reasons why that we should thank God for His goodness toward us. And so, therefore, since we're just 3 days away from Thursday, Thanksgiving, let's just take a few moments here this morning and try to understand what they teach us here about praise to the Lord and about being thankful to Him. And so I'm going to take my time this morning. I got sort of chastised last week for me quitting. I appreciate what was saying to me. And so I'm just going to stay up here till the Lord gets done with me. And when the Lord gets done with me, I'll stop. And if you get done with me before the Lord gets done with me, then you'll have to decide what you want to do about that. But anyway, here, as the Lord gives us liberty, and that's the only way that anybody can preach, is that God has to give you liberty. I'm going to preach for a while on the thought of call to thanksgiving. Now, I want you to look in verse 1 and 2, and it says how that we're to enter into His presence. The psalmist opened this psalm here, issuing a call to worship and praise before the Lord. He teaches us how that we are to come into God's presence. And by the way, here, there's nothing brings us into God's presence like lifting up His name. And so He promised us that He will inhabit the praise of His people. And notice three great manifestations of praise that will bring us into the presence of God. Is that not what we want to do this morning? We want to enter into the very presence of God. And so how is that? How can we do that? What is required of us that we should do that? First of all, he says to enter with shouting. Now make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It comes from the Hebrew word which means to shout. Vocal praise unto the Lord. That's kind of out of fashion today. That is sad, it's out of fashion in the world, but it's sad to say that it's sort of out of fashion in the church house today. It's being vocal. But I still believe with all of my heart that being offering that vocal praise is still what God wants. And it's still okay in the economy of God. And so when we verbally dedicate or declare our praise to God and glorify His name, that brings us into His presence. That's what it does. When we glorify His name and we praise Him, that is what brings us into His presence. May God give us all a shout of the soul that will express itself from our lips. Is that not right? God give us a shout in our souls that will express itself by an audible shout from our lips. And so that's what he says. Enter into his presence with shouting. Make a joyful noise. And then he says, enter with service. Verse 2. We're challenged to serve the Lord with gladness. That is, we're to never allow our labor for the Lord to become a drudgery. Oh, God, help us that we would think of what God would want us to do as being something that we dread or something that we don't want to do. We are not to grow weary in well-doing. The Apostle Paul says, grow not weary in well-doing. We will reap in due season if we faint not. Don't grow weary. Don't grow weary if it seems like all you're witnessing and all the things that you're doing is falling on deaf ears and nobody appreciates it. Keep on keeping on. Don't grow weary. Just stay in there. And so the word gladness literally means joy. Enter, serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with joy. And so here, that's where we're to look upon our service to the Lord. We're to look upon it as a cause of rejoicing. How many looks at like that? How many looks at your service as something to rejoice about? To have joy instead of seeing it as a chore? We're to view it as a privilege to those who have been redeemed by His grace and have been chosen by the Lord to do His work in this old world. The Apostle Paul said this right here. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me. Who has enabled me? Paul said, I can't do it myself. But God has enabled me to do what He has called me to do, for that He counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. He said he counted me faithful. And so here he said we've been chosen of the Lord to do his work. And then do you realize that obedience is an expression of worship unto the Lord? It's an expression of worship. When you consider that Jesus tells us that we prove our love to him by our obedience, then it becomes very clear. Look what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus says, if you truly love me, then you're going to be obedient to me. You're going to do what my word commands you to do. You're going to be obedient to the word of God. That's how that you express your love or show your love to the Lord, is being obedient to his word. And so he says here, not only to enter with shouting, enter with service. And then he says in the last portion of verse 2, he says, enter with singing. And that word literally means a ringing cry. Lifting our souls unto the Lord through song. That is a tremendous way to bless the name of the Lord and exalt him. In fact, the child of God, you and I that are saved, we ought to possess a song and a soul. I didn't say that you ought to have a song that people want to hear you sing, that would request you to sing. I'm saying that you ought to be a song in your heart. King David said, he lifted me up out of the horrible pit. He lifted me up. He set my foot on a solid rock. He established my going. And this is what he said. He put a song in my heart. And so he's commanded us to sing our songs of praise unto him. Look what Psalm 68:32 says. Sing unto God, ye kingdom of the earth. Oh, sing praise unto the Lord, Selah. There's that word Selah, and I've talked to you about that before here. That word Selah is only found in two books in the Bible, in Psalms and Habakkuk. And that word simply means when you read that verse of Scripture and you see that word, God is simply saying, you have just read something that is very, very important that I want you to understand and get. Go back and read it again. Go back and read that again. I've just shared a tremendous truth. And if that's the case, then let's go back and read it again and see what he puts so much emphasis on. Sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. Oh, sing praises unto the Lord. And so David declares that along with salvation came a new song of praise unto the Lord. Never hesitate. Let me challenge you as a child of God this morning. Never hesitate to lift the songs of the Lord. Lift up songs unto the Lord. It glorifies him when his people are simply willing to exalt him in their songs of rejoicing. If we could ever get people to understand that when we're singing in church, that we're not singing for somebody's entertainment or we're not singing for somebody's enjoyment, but we're singing unto the Lord. We're singing for him. We're offering praise to him. You ask people to come to the choir to sing in the congregation, and they'll say, "Oh, I can't sing." What they're saying is, I can't sing that with people would want to, with their ears they want to hear, but you're not singing to people. Never understand that. Now, when you go down there and buy those $100 tickets to hear some of these celebrities sing, now those people are singing for entertainment. But in the house of God, it's not for entertainment. It's to praise the Lord. It's to exalt him. It may not sound good to your neighbor's ear, but it'll sound wonderful to the ear of God. God will be pleased with it. So he says, sing praises, and that'll bring you into the presence of God. And so we see our entrance into his presence. Second thing I want you to see is our enlightenment concerning his person. Look in verse 3. Every truth learned about the person of the Lord results, every time you learn a truth about the Lord, every time you study the Word of God and you see something new about the Lord that you've never seen before, that's another reason for praise and admiration. And so, and I'll promise you, every time you study the Word of God, you'll see something new about him. You'll see something wonderful about him. You'll see something about him that you've never seen before. Don't matter how long you've been saved. So God help us to never reach that place where we fail to be amazed at the person of God. Are you amazed at God this morning? And who he is, and the power that he has, and how wonderful that he is. And so, because everything we do, the very thing that we are, everything in our life, it rises or falls on the perception of just who God is. Who is God to you this morning? How do you see God? How do you view God this morning? What do you think of him? So it's imperative that you and I never forget who we're serving. If you ever forget that, you'll quit serving. If you think you're serving because the pastor wants you to, or somebody in the church wants you to, if you think that's the reason that you're serving, then you'll quit. But if you'll never forget who you're serving, you'll never quit. As long as you know you're serving the Lord, you're working for him. And so we're to the servants of the living God. And you know what's even better than saying that we're servants of the living God? We're children of the living God. We're children. We're sons and daughters of the living God. And so let us learn all that we can about Him and rejoice in everything that we learn. And then this reminds us here, if you'll look there in verse 3, the creative power of God. We are in this world because the Lord in His great power, He formed man in His own image. God said, let us make man in our own image. And He formed man out of the dust of the earth, and the Bible says that He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. As you've heard me say so many times, not a living body, because this body is going to die and go back from the dust from which it came. You, the real you, is the living soul that will never die. That soul will live on and on and on forever, eternity. You'll never die. And where that soul, where the real you lives, will determine on what you do with Jesus. If you reject Him, then you'll spend eternity in a place called hell. If you receive Him, you'll spend eternity in the joy and the presence of the Lord in that place called heaven. Listen to what this preacher's saying. Listen to the truth of the Word of God. We're here because God created us. That's one thing that scientists can't do. They can't create life. And so God created us. He breathed into our nostrils the breath of life. That's something for which we are to praise Him. Ain't got nothing else to praise Him for. Say, Lord, thank You. I so enjoy living here in this world. I love my family, love my children, love my grandchildren. I'm just having a good time. Lord, if it wasn't for You giving me life, I wouldn't be here. Thank You, Lord. And so, that's something to thank Him for. But beyond that great creative power to create this universe, to create everything that there is, the great heavens and all that. Man, the power to create this, beyond that, something even greater, His great recreative power. In other words, when man became marred by the stains of sin, He redeemed us. And He remade us afresh and anew. In the image of His darling Son. Therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Just the fact that His power is revealed in the creation of this world is reason enough to praise Him and to glorify His name. But when you add to that the fact that God has the power to take an old hell-bound sinner, one that is guilty of some of the most horrifying addictions that a person could be entangled in, and save them by His grace, and transform him into the image of His dear Son, and take him to heaven when he dies. Boy, that's just added. That's just added sweetness to this whole thing. And so the psalmist says, we're His people. That is, we're His personal possession. You belong to God. He owns you. You're His possession. You're not to do with yourself whatever you want to do with yourself. You belong to God. You're supposed to do what the owner wants you to do. He says, we're His. We're His people. We're His by virtue of the fact that He paid the price to redeem us. And so, you know, everybody said, well, we're all brothers, we're all children of God, this universal belief in the fatherhood of God, and so that's what people like to proclaim, that's what people likes to think about when you try to talk to them about being saved. But if I read the scriptures right, if you're not saved, then God is not your father. He says if you're not saved that your father is the devil.
And if you're saved, so what brings us into the family of God is not just these, yes, we're all created by God. Yes, we're all here because we were created by God. But what brings us into the family of God and under the fatherhood of God is when we accept His Son, Jesus, for the forgiveness of our sins to bring us into the family of God. And so here, when we're sold under sin, He came and died for us, paying the price to set us free. There's three words, and I don't know whether I'm going to get into them or not. I guess I will. There's three words that are translated redeemed in the New Testament. Now, what everybody here knows as a Bible student is that the Bible that you hold in your hand, that is in written in English, that it was translated from Greek. And so even King James 16:11, which is the true version, which is the God-anointed version, I believe, with all my heart. I believe it was the one that God put His anointing upon as it was translated. You'll find that there's three times the word redeemed was used in the Word of God, and it comes from a different Greek word. If you look over in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, you'll find the word redeemed there came from the Greek word, and I can't even pronounce it. Let me spell it for you. A-G-O-R-A-Z-O. That is the Greek word that redeemed came from. And it literally means to buy in a marketplace. It has the reference to purchasing a slave right off of the auction block. In other words, that slave, and we all know that what happened in those times was that they would bring slaves to the market and they would put them on the auction block and people would bid on them and take them home with them to work them. But that is what Jesus did for us when He died on the cross. He paid the full price that we might go free from the penalty of sin. Redemption from the penalty of sin is a reason to shout.
We would like to thank you for listening to the services of Brother Oscar McCamus. For more information about our church, please like us on Facebook at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church or visit our website at UnionTempleFWB.org.